So last week we talked about discipleship and how do we live that out, what that entails. Now this week I want to talk a little bit about how do we reach out to those who need to be discipled, those who need to encounter Jesus. Well, first we need to find out who they are. Who are those non-disciples? Who are the people that need to encounter Jesus? Maybe it's someone you know, or maybe it's ourselves. Sometimes that's the case too. Second, we need to understand why they're not disciples. What's going on in their lives? Maybe they've never heard of Jesus. Maybe they haven't really been introduced to him. Maybe there's some barrier between them. And then we need to help overcome those obstacles that stand between that person and Jesus and his church. There's a well-known author, at least in the Catholic world, I guess maybe you haven't heard of her, but her name is Sherry Waddell, and she has done extensive study on why people leave the church, why they come back, what helps them become disciples. She talks about five thresholds that people need to move through in order to become disciples, that is, committed Christians. So first, trust. Trust, well, let's go through the five. There's trust, curiosity, openness, seeking intentional discipleship, and then intentional discipleship. So trust, someone who's in need of trust, once they trust something, whether it's the church itself or a person, more often in our day, I think it's a person, someone who comes to trust in a person, then they have that bridge by which they can come to know Jesus. They can have that relationship. Until we have trust in something, it's really hard for that person to move forward in the process of becoming a disciple. So in this case, really, really important for us to be those witnesses in the world. People look at us and hopefully they see Jesus. And if they don't, then we need to work on that. Second, there's curiosity. And this is the stage where, you know, we start to desire to know more about Jesus or know more about his church or some aspect of Christianity. And it's kind of this idea where I'm interested, but I'm not really looking for personal change yet. But I'm open to looking more into the church and what it's all about. It's an essentially passive state where we're kind of looking back. It's like, oh, that's interesting. But we don't really have a commitment yet. Curiosity often happens and develops when we see somebody. We see somebody living their faith. And we say, huh, why do they do that? What's this all about? And we want to learn more. Next is that openness. That openness where we acknowledge the possibility of change. It's very difficult for someone in our day, I think, we live in a postmodern world where there's a lot of non-believers, lots of things. So to be open to changing myself takes a big thing. It takes a big movement of the heart. And so we have to trust God with this one, with all of them really, but this is a big one. So it's an idea. It's an idea that I start to think about, what would it be like if I started to try to be a Christian? We start to think about that possibility. What would it be like if I really gave myself to Jesus? What would happen in my life if I did that? So we start to be open. And again, faithful witnesses make a big difference. Then we have the next step, seeking intentional discipleship. We're moving towards actively taking on this role of being a Christian, of being a disciple of Jesus. It's kind of like dating with a purpose. We're not married yet, but we're seriously dating and considering this relationship. So this person is really looking for an answer. Can I live this way? Should I live this way? Is this what's going to make me happy in my life? Those kind of questions. They're not yet decided on it yet, but they're open and they're really seeking and they're really wanting to make a decision. Finally, we have those intentional disciples. Those who have said, I've examined this, I've looked at this, I've prayed about it, I've discerned about it, and I'm in. I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I've given myself to Jesus, and in this stage, that's when real change can happen in our lives. This is when we can go and do great things for the Lord. This is when we can do amazing things, the things that we thought we could never do. I know for myself, being a priest, I thought I would never do that. It never seemed like something I'd be possible for me to do, and yet here I am. Didn't like public speaking, and here I have to do it every day. So here I am. But it's scary. It's scary when we say yes to Jesus. It's scary when we say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, because we don't know where he's going to take us. And so it can be a little bit frightening, can be a little bit concerning. That's why it takes so many steps, I think, to get us to that point where we say, I'm all in. I'm all yours, Jesus. Now, if we have committed to living the faith, We need to understand what it's like for people who don't live the faith, or people who don't commit to the faith. And we need to look at it from their perspective, from the outsider's perspective. Everyone has a story. Everyone has an experience. They've all had their own perspective. And if we're journeying with someone, we're not there to fix their problems or solve all their little questions. You know, we're about meeting them as a person, making friends with them, being a friend, helping them to see Jesus. And when they do start asking questions, then we can get answers for them. But sometimes we think that evangelizing is just saying, well, this is what the church teaches. Da 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 da, and we go off and we give them the catechism and we say, now you should be Catholic. And the reality is, that's not what they need at that stage. We don't want to drown them in Catholicism before they even start. So we have to begin developing a relationship with them. It's not a science. It's not like we just step through and say, okay, well, now we're on step two here. I mean, we do have these thresholds, but it's kind of more of a way of thinking about it than it is like this. Like, it's a journey, and sometimes we go up and down and in and out, and we don't know exactly where we're going to end up. So we have to take the pressure off ourselves and not expect certain results, not expect certain stages to happen in a certain order. We just have to trust that I'm walking with this person, and I'm trusting that God is going to do the real work. I'm here to be with them. I'm here to witness to them, but I don't know what God is going to do. So we do our part. We are open to God. We ask the Lord to help us, and we have to be patient. Where's the Lord leading us? When we get confused or uncertain, then we have to go and pray about it. So there's different types of people out there. We have the three kind of stories that Jesus gave. There's the coin, an object, somebody maybe who's never encountered Jesus in a real way. They're out there in the world. They need Jesus. They need to be found. They don't even know it, though. And they're not even really looking to be found. They're just out there. We need to find those people. There's the sheep who has kind of wandered off. Maybe they've met Jesus at some point in their lives, but now they're kind of off on their own. And they're maybe making noise, they're looking for something, but they're not really seeking to be found either. We need to find those people and bring them in. Then there's the son, the prodigal son, the second son, the younger son, who goes off. Maybe there's somebody who's in the church, and then for whatever reason they left. Maybe they looked after worldly allurements, and they were drawn in by those things, and they gave themselves to those things. And then they found that it wasn't satisfying. And now they're trying to come back, but they don't know how to come back. Or they're uncertain, how am I going to be received? Are people going to love me? Are people going to take me in for who I am? And so they're uncertain. Maybe they feel unworthy. We need to find those people. St. Augustine captures this in a prayer that he wrote. It's a beautiful prayer. Late have I loved you, O beauty ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved you. You were within me, but I was outside. And it was there that I searched for you. In my unloveliness, I plunged into the lovely things which you created. You were with me, but I was not with you. Created things kept me from you, yet if they had not been in you, they would not have been at all. You called, you shouted, you broke through my deafness. You flashed, you shone, and you dispelled my blindness. You breathed your fragrance on me, I drew breath, and now I pant for you. St. Augustine talking about how we long for God, and sometimes we don't even know it. And until it's revealed to us, until we've made that journey of faith, until we've experienced it, we can't even really speak about it. Sometimes even then we can't speak about it. But God hungers for us. He hungers for us to be found. Jesus wants us to give ourselves in discipleship, to put away distractions, to put away the things that lead us away from Him. And He wants us to be aware that there's that invitation. Come, follow me. Come, be my disciple. So, are we disciples? Have we committed ourselves to that? And are there people around us that we are willing to walk with, to journey with, to show them how to follow Jesus? Jesus, open our eyes to the possibility of a life lived in you. Help us to pursue it for ourselves, and help us to see it in your eyes, as you see, that we may see those you have put before us that need a friend to help them come to know you more. Thank you, Jesus, that you know us so deeply and you want us to know you. We are grateful. Help us to respond to your call.